everybody. Kevin Broughton coming at you today. Thanks so much for joining in, and thanks for joining Loan Officer Impact. I'm really excited to be here today. I have a dear friend of mine with me today, and we're going to talk exclusively for about 25 or 30 minutes about impact and how your daily activities can impact your business, your bank account, and your bottom line. So I'm really excited to have my friend with me, joining me from the great state of Florida, Mr. Carl White. Carl, how are you?
Dude, So this is the first episode of Loan Officer Impact.
It is my inaugural episode, and I couldn't think of a better guy to share this time with me. So thanks so much.
Dude, I feel like I'm the first guest on the Johnny Carson show or something like that.
Yeah,
this
right?
is there'll be a time. We'll listen to this 5 years or 10 years now. But dude, I was the first one there. So
Actually, Carl, you inspired me to do this, and so I have not done a podcast before. So I appreciate, you know, your input and your advice to help me, I'm excited.
Due time for you to do this, because brother, you've got so much great information. I have learned, I'm not just saying this to be nice, I have learned so much from you, and you've got a lot to share. So this is, I think this is going to be a great thing for the loan officer community, because you just got so much. So, hey, I know you're supposed to interview me today, but you know what? I want to kind of turn the table, and we can delete this if you don't like it, you know, but I'd like to turn the table, and I'd like to interview you. Would that
fantastic.
Be okay to do here on the first episode?
I am all gear. I'm all ears, and I'm good to go with that. I love that.
All right. So let me ask you, what's the purpose of Loan Officer Impact? Like what's on the horizon? What are we going to be listening to on each episode? What's the idea?
Well, the reason that I started this, Carl, is simple. We're in a different market than we've been in the past couple of years. Everyone in the country knows that. And we've been in that different market for a while. And I've been really successful over the past 12 months and helped a lot of people almost get to the point where they're earning what they did in the 2 year ago market right now because of different tactics and different strategies and different implementation structures that are available out there. And it's really made an impact in a lot of people's lives that I know. And I wanted to bring that to the general community of loan originators nationwide and see if we can impact more people's lives.
Yeah, I like that. And when I met you, dude, I have to say, it's been an amazing journey watching what you've created over there. You started on the team that you run, right? The team that you run, if I remember right, and I might have the numbers wrong, and if I do, you know, obviously correct me, but I think when we met, and this is going to sound like a big number, but there's a bigger number coming. When we met, if I remember right, you guys were doing about $125 million a year.
That's about right.
Somewhere in that ballpark.
Yeah.
And in not too many years, you've gone from 125 million to is it okay to ask what'd you guys do last year?
Just a hair shy of $3 billion.
$3 billion with that's with a B.
That's with a B. Yeah,
dude. If I would have told you when we first met, say, hey Kevin, I know what you got is awesome, dude. You're going to be a $3 billion man. Would you even believe that? Like, you know what I mean?
No, I wouldn't have, to be honest. But it's funny you bring that up because obviously we got there with a lot of help from a lot of talented people.
And, I get it.
I get partnerships it. With a lot of great, great individuals. I think at the beginning, I didn't have the belief system that could come true. And when I removed that limiting belief system in my mind, that's when I started to get strategic, and that's when things started to change.
Yeah. So let me ask you. I mean, you see a lot of loan officers. Frankly, see a lot of them succeed, and I'm sure you've seen your share of those that didn't make
more than my share.
Yep. So, like, what would you say, like, for loan officers, like, for them to impact their business, what activity or activities moves the needle for loan officers the most? Like, what do you see the winners doing more of that the also starrings didn't do?
It's a great question, and I think there's a pretty simple answer. It gets a little complex within the answer, but the initial answer is just the winners, almost every one of them, if not every one of them, understand the importance of clarity, focus, and execution.
Mm-hmm. What do you, so go a little deeper on that. What do you mean?
Well, I think it all starts with clarity. And so if you're not clear on where you're headed, obviously it's more difficult to get there. It, you know, the old analogy of the roadmap, if you just got in your car and said, I'm going to drive to LA and you didn't have a map, you're probably not going to end up in LA, right? And I think a lot of loan officers do not have a clear vision, a clear path, and a clear mindset as to how to achieve what they say they want. So I think clarity is pretty important. I think clarity is a combination of goal setting and values. And so I think that the people I know that do exceptionally well, every one of them is crystal clear on where they're headed. The second thing I mentioned was focus. And, you know, something that you've been preaching and teaching for, I don't know, 15, 20 years is same thing that I believe is true with every successful loan officer. So the more hours spent doing high leverage activities and the fewer hours spent doing low leverage activities is a guaranteed recipe for success, you know, and yet we sometimes have blind spots in our business and those blind spots prohibit us from doing more high leverage activities. But I'll never forget a day 10 years ago when you told me that if I could get to a place where I spent 90% of my working hours only doing things that I love, that I'm great at, and that drive my economic engine, I'll be happy forever. And I took that, you probably don't even remember telling me that, but you did tell that to me. And it was back in 2012. And I took that to heart. I did it. And I can honestly tell you that that's what I do right now every day. I spend 90%+ of my working hours only doing things that I love, that I'm great at, and that drive my economic engine. So that kind of leads to the focus reality. And then if you think about execution, you know, execution's about time management. It's about presentation mastery, and it's about, you know, a strategic mindset. And if you think about it, most loan officers, what do all day? We present for a living, either to borrowers or to referral sources. And yet I'm not sure that the also-rans don't, I don't see them spending time on presentation mastery, yet the people I know that have done exceptionally well in this industry, Carl, they are masters at presenting. And you know a few of them off the top of your head, and they're the best of the best in the industry. And so I think that's another thing that sets the top producers apart from the average ones.
You know, it's interesting. Like when you say that, I can hear some people say, yeah, but I'm a little on the shy side, you know, to do presentations. And I think one thing that a lot of people might find surprising is some of the best presenters are actually by nature introverts, even though you can't tell that on, like, I'm, and you Kevin, you've known me for a long time as a very, very dear friend.
Yeah.
That I'm 100% an introvert.
Absolutely. Like,
which people might find that as unusual.
Right.
And you might not can tell, you know, when I'm on stage or on the podcast or whatever, but I'm a classic example of how you don't have to be this outgoing life of the party type, bigger than life personality to do very, very, very well in these things. So I like that. So clarity, goal, which is goal setting. You know, I think the biggest problem with clarity and goal setting is people don't have somebody in their life that can give them a bigger vision than what they're currently in. In other words, they have no idea what they're capable of.
I couldn't agree with you more, Carl. And, you know, you think about that, and I have, as you know, a life team, and you're part of it. And I think that that's a very undervalued reality for most loan officers. I ask this question a lot, and I don't always, most times I don't get an answer of affirmative answer to they have a life team. And I think coaches and mentors and accountability partners and things of that nature are so important and valuable. And yet I think that's a step that most people miss. And that's what causes a lot of the lack of clarity. Because if you think about it, you and I have had this conversation for years, but we all have blind spots, right? And we can't see them within ourselves. And that's why they're blind spots. And yet if you have great mentors and great coaches and great accountability partners and people on your team that actually give a darn about you, they point out those blind spots, not in a condescending way, but in a constructive way, and then you can eliminate them. And so I think clarity is really important, but I agree with you. A lot of people miss out on proper clarity because they have blind spots that are natural. You have them, I have them, we all have them. And yeah. And it takes oftentimes another individual to point out that they exist. And when you actually realize that and it happens, it's an aha or an epiphany. And I think it's really important.
Interesting. On the focus part, you said spend more time on the high producing stuff or the things that make you money and less time on the low things that don't make you money, or spend more time printing $100 bills and less time spending pennies.
Absolutely.
So what is for you and your, I got a two-part question.
Yes.
Give me an example of low producing activity. And then my follow-up to that is going to be with your mortgage team that you run, how do you remove that low producing activity? How do you eliminate that so they can focus more on the high? So part one, what does low producing activity look like?
To me, low producing activities are things that need to be done, but someone else that is able and willing to make less money per hour is capable of doing them at the same level or 80% as well as you are. So for instance, hung up the phone earlier today, perfect example, with a gentleman that claims he closed 3 loans last month and worked over 50 hours a week for 4.2 weeks of the month, the whole month. And I said, how the heck could you work that much on 3 loans? And he said, I have no help whatsoever, and I am responsible for every single aspect of the loan. I chase down every single condition. I structure every portion of the loan. I lock every single loan. I take every application, and on he went. And he said that that's why he could only close 3 a month. Now, he also further said, which you know is the problem, if that is true in someone's life, his ability to market during that 30 days was 0. And so as he told me this morning, the reason he called me was to ask for some help. And he said, my next month looks horrible, like he literally might close 0 loans. And so those are great examples of low leverage activities. They need to be done. They're very important. But for that individual, they become a low leverage activity. That might be and is someone else's high leverage activity. And I think that's where the differentiator of being in your lane comes very crystal clear. If you don't know what your lane is, then you can fall into that other side of the equation. And as you know, Carl, I'm a huge proponent and I'd prefer 2 hours of productive over 8 hours of busy. And yeah. I think that many loan officers nationwide get caught in this busy trap. And that's when they say things that you've heard and that I've heard for years. I worked 60 hours this week. Oh, I worked 70 hours this week. Well, if we had a stopwatch on how many hours out of those 60 or 70 that they actually did something to create, keep, or grow a client, because that is our only job, it's going to be a shockingly low number. Would you agree?
I would definitely agree. So how do you, like with your team, how do you solve that problem?
Well, we've been very fortunate. 11 years ago, we adopted a belief system that salespeople should sell and not chase page 4 of the Wells Fargo bank statement. Mm-hmm. And so we've created an entire organization around salespeople selling. And we believe that when salespeople are doing things that they love, that they're great at, and that drive their economic engine, that's when they're happy, and that's when they stay at your organization. And when you force them or create an environment where it's easy for them to do things that they don't love, that they're not great at, and that doesn't drive their economic engine, that's when the chaos starts. Mm-hmm. So every single loan officer at our company has a loan partner. Every one of those is licensed, and their job is to make the life of the loan officer easier. And obviously the trade-off is we need the loan officer to then take their newfound hours and go out and do high leverage activities so that they can procure more leads and more business. That makes sense?
Yeah. And you know what, this is going to sound like a smart aleck question, but this, like, this is a real question. Okay. So what you're saying, and we all know this, right?
Yeah.
Is if I spend more time prospecting and less time chasing the pay stub, I'll close more loans.
Correct.
When I close more loans, if I'm an individual loan officer, my branch manager will make more money, right? Which Correct. Is awesome, right?
Correct.
If my branch manager makes more money, well, my company owner will make more money. Awesome. Some of that money he or she will put in their pocket, and some of that money they'll invest and get me more things to help me close more loans, right? Just common sense stuff. Why do you think this is not the typical? Why is it that it seems like most branches are, and I'm not picking, we're not
going to. I understand where you're going with it.
Why do they avoid it?
Well, I think the answer is this. If you look at different times of the life of the mortgage industry, right? Right now we're in a difficult time, or challenging time, or a time where there's some differences than there were a year ago and 2 years ago, right?
Yeah.
And what I'm seeing nationwide as an epidemic is the stripping of resources at levels I haven't seen before since 2009.
Yeah.
And I understand it, Carl. You know, there's a liquidity issue in the mortgage industry today where the value of these mortgages is drastically different than it was 24 months ago or even 12 months ago. And so the organizations themselves are earning less dollars per transaction, and the loan officers don't want to take a pay cut. We get that, right? So the pie is just smaller than it used to be. And you couple that with fewer transactions. I believe the MBA is releasing a stat today that there were 13.7 million transactions done in America in 2020, 13.7 million mortgage transactions nationwide. And it appears that projected out through the end of this year, that number is going to settle in at about 5 million. So that's a massive decrease from 13.7 million just 2 years ago to 5 million this year. And that creates a challenge for every organization that's in this space. So what the natural inclination to do, Carl, is to strip away resources. Why every company doesn't do what we're doing, I wish I knew, but selfishly, I'm kind of glad they don't. You know, because at the end of the day, we're trying to pour into as many of our loan officers at our organization as possible with every resource we can get our hands on so that they can spend more time doing the things that they know are required to get more deals in the door. It's that simple.
So what would you say, like knowing all, with all that and having the loan officers, like anything we can do to remove the busyness out of their life and put in more of the productivity, what's one or two skills or talents, or let's not use talent, because a talent, sometimes I think a talent can't be learned, a skill can.
Yes. Right?
So what's one or two skills that loan officers should hone or sharpen or focus on? Like, what's a couple things, like in today's market, to close more loans? What's a skill or something that I need to be doing more of?
Number one thing, without a doubt, in my opinion, Carl, it's mindset, and it really matters. And I think it's easy to fall in. There's a couple things I'd say in regards to that question. Number one is mindset, and it truly does matter. And I don't care what anyone says, but how many successful companies do you know, or CEOs or top sales guys that you know around the country in different industries are negative? You know any?
No.
I don't know any. And so I believe it starts with mindset. But I also think the number one thing that you can do after you get your mind right is be strategic. And I don't know that that's commonly practiced every day by everyone.
What do you mean by be strategic?
Well, here's where the crux of the problem exists, right? It's easy to stand up and say, hey, we should call X number of people a day. We should do the, you know, just ask campaign like you've did. But at the end of the day, that phone can get heavy if you don't like the results. Right. And so what I mean by that is this: most people in America, regardless of what job they do, regardless of what industry they're in, they have life experiences, correct?
Yes.
And almost exclusively, those life experiences dictate that person's belief system. And 100% of the time, their belief system dictates their actions. So just think about that for a minute. If I called 30 realtors and 29 of them hung up on me, one set an appointment, no showed and no called, what would I think if that was my experience? Is it possible my belief system would be calling realtors doesn't work? Is it possible?
Without question.
So then my actions might be, I'm not doing that anymore. I'm not calling those realtors, correct?
Yeah, correct.
But if I called 30 of them and 22 picked up, 17 were nice, I had something in common with seven, five of those seven booked an appointment, four of them showed up, we hit it off great face-to-face, and three of those four gave me a referral within the first 14 days of meeting them, what would my belief system be, Carl?
Hey, this is a good use of my time.
Absolutely. So hence my actions most likely would be, hey, I'm going to do that again, right?
Yes.
So I think that a lot of it depends on your results. And that's why I talk a lot about presentation mastery, because I think that oftentimes, and I'm not saying we got to wow the realtor and knock their socks off and make them think we're the greatest person ever or anything like that. But I do think at times, some people don't go into their prospecting as focused and as strategic as they can. And if they'd spend 30 minutes before doing that activity, strategically thinking how they can impact that activity at the highest level, I bet you they'd have better results. I started doing that personally. And I'm spending a little more time trying to develop my strategic IQ, because if we do all of our day doing, and zero of our day thinking, it's less advantageous to the end result. Does that make sense?
That makes perfect sense. And when you're talking about presenting, you don't necessarily mean presenting in front of a group of 50. It might not be at all. One at a coffee shop, or it might be a borrower on a telephone call working through the application process.
100%, because everything we do is a presentation. It just depends how you define presentation. But I absolutely do not mean standing up in front of a room of 1,000 people. No, I'm talking about any interaction, either verbal on the phone or in person, with a borrower or a referral source is a presentation, right? And as you know, and I know, the vast majority of people in this country want to do business with people that they know, like, and trust. Mm. Correct?
What would you say, like, with everything that's going on right now, and as we're recording this, this is toward the end of 2022.
Yep.
What would you say is the most, and I hate asking negative questions, but I think this needs to be
brought. Okay.
So what would you say is the most common reason that loan officers are failing? We know a lot of the winners.
Yes.
But we know, we've seen certainly a fair amount that's really having a really hard time right now. What's the most common reason you see for loan officers struggling?
My honest answer, Carl, is lack of stick-to-itiveness. And what I mean by that is, you know the story about digging for the diamond, right? And you get
diamonds, yeah.
And you may have mining for diamonds, and you may have dug 6 feet down, and the diamond's 6 feet, 6 inches, but you've already dug 6 feet, and you just say, screw it, I'm done. I dug this far, there's nothing here. And unbeknownst to the digger, the diamond is 6 inches further down if you just swung that axe a few more times. And that's what I mean by stick-to-itiveness. And it is difficult, because think about the reality of this market. Whether we like it or not, there's realtors that maybe sold 50 homes last year that can't sell 20 this year. Mm. So when you're having relationships with people that used to maybe refer you 7 deals a year and that turned into 2, what do you need? You need 3.5 more relationships in order to replace the exact same amount of volume. And so it's difficult, because we have to expand and go beyond our comfort zone. And I always talk about legs on a stool. And if you're building a mortgage practice, obviously you need more than one leg on the stool. And realtors are an exceptionally important part of that if you're a purchase-driven person, which obviously the only people making it in this economy are purchase-driven. But there's many other referral opportunities that exist outside of just realtors. And do you have a campaign for all of those to create a 4- or 5-legged stool? Because the winds of this industry, you know, blow in many directions, Carl. And who knows what the real estate business may look like 24 months from today. It could be drastically different than it does today, you know? So I just think lack of ability to see it all the way through. And I don't for a second think that that's not hard to do. And that's why I'm a huge believer in a life team and mentors and coaches and people that care about you, and surrounding yourself with like kind and like-minded folks that actually give a darn about the outcome, because oftentimes we all need that push. I got in a little bit of a rut at one point this year, and I got out of it because someone who cared about me put their arms around me and said, let's go, snap out of this, let's go. And it worked. And I got right back to where I was, you know? And so I just think stick-to-itiveness is really important. And if I had one message for everyone, it's do not stray from the path, because the path is tried and true. And if you'll stick to it, I guarantee you the results will come. And we know many people. Guy just said to me yesterday, Carl, he said, what's the difference between a loser and a winner?
Tell me.
I said, I don't know. And his answer was, the winner didn't quit. And I thought about that, and it's kind of true, you know, same guy, same gal. And one just didn't give up. And then all of a sudden, boom, you know, yeah, right now you're stirring up a thought of a friend of mine. It's a friend of yours too. I don't want to say her name, but she never gave up more than anyone I know. And it went from good, 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 good to absolutely explosive. And her business just exploded to, you know, 130 plus million in 1 year. But it was little chunks, but never gave up, you know? And I think we just sometimes folks just quit before the greatness happens.
Yeah. You know, you said something a few minutes ago. I want to make sure everybody caught it. I paraphrased it. You basically said success moves at the speed of relationships. And man, that's really good. Hey, I'm going to ask you a question. And I've known you for a long time, so this is going to go against your nature.
Okay.
But it'll be a really good question.
Okay.
What's your magic power? Like, what is it? What is the thing of Kevin? Dude, you've gone from growing a team from 125, well, I guess zero, right? We all started at zero.
Yeah.
But from what I've seen, you've gone from 125 million to around 3 billion with a B, which is a huge number. And I get it. You know, you've had some people and a team. I get all that. What's your magic power?
Like you said, it's uncomfortable for me, right? Because I'm not a boastful guy.
What's your magic power?
I think it's my ability and willingness to care. I truly give a darn about folks, and I care more about their success than my own. And I've spent my whole professional life. I didn't go to Harvard. I'm not the smartest guy you ever met, but about 27 years ago, I saw Zig Ziglar speak, and it was in Detroit, Michigan. And he said something that I never, ever had leave my mind. And he said simply, help enough other folks get what they want first and will always be enough for you. Yeah. And I was a young man at that time. And that was one thing I could get my arms around because it was in my nature. And I've tried every day to just help other folks get what they want first. And somehow there's always been enough left on my table. And I'm grateful and humbled by that. And I think it's just caring about others. And, you know, I'm an old school grinder, Carl. I still do my daily success plan every day right now. And you could argue I don't have to do that, but I always feel like I want to win, and I'm a competitive guy, and I like winning, and I feel that you better be out there running every day. And if you ain't growing, you're dying. And so just care about people, put others first, and run. That's what I do.
Hmm. Well, brother, I see we're here at the top of the hour. This has been fascinating. You're a really, really, really sharp guy. And I'd like to dive at the, if you ever allow me to come on again, I'd like to dive a little bit deeper into some of these thing. You know, the thing like going deeper into the clarity, the focus, and the execution and what that looks like. So you're awesome, dude, brother. I'm so, so appreciative here to be on the first episode. You were kind enough to share with me some of your upcoming interviews that you're going to be doing, where you're going to be interviewing them. And man, these are a bunch of winners. I saw it. And you know, the other thing I noticed, it's a very diverse group. And what I mean by that is that their secrets of winning was by different paths. And I'm really different personalities.
I designed it that way intentionally, Carl, and strategically, if you will. And because I wanted to show exactly what I think you were alluding to earlier. It takes all types. And if you look at that DISC assessment, you know, a lot of people think, oh, you got to be a high I. You don't. Both you and I know many, many CSs and a lot of Ds that are extremely, you know, successful. I think anyone can do it if they have the right mindset, the right leadership, the right path, and the right life team. And so I'm excited for this upcoming series. I think we're going to bring a lot of value to a lot of loan officers that are interested in doing better. Well, Carl, thanks again. I totally appreciate it. I can't believe for my first podcast ever, I got lucky enough to have you as my guest, and then you turned around and interviewed me. It was really special. I enjoyed this time. I appreciate our friendship. I always have. And for those of you out there, loan originators, that are interested in either possibly getting more clear and understanding what clarity really can mean to your business, getting more focused, doing more of versus less of activities, doing more high leverage activities versus low leverage activities, or, you know, really execution and the ability to be laser focused and strategic in your execution. I believe without a shadow of a doubt, I can help people close a minimum of 4 more loans every single month if they would master these 3 things. And I've been pretty successful at helping people do that. So if you want to talk to me, go to growingwithkevin.com. That's growingwithkevin.com. And we'll schedule up a 15-minute chat session and see where it goes. Thanks so much. I appreciate y'all. And we'll see you next time.
Be sure to visit successunlimited.us for free loan officer tools, tips, and video resources. To schedule time with Kevin, visit growingwithkevin.com.